Let me ask you now, if you will, please turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. We are working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading, The Good News of God, according to Luke. And this morning, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Again, our text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 33, let's hear God's word. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. The reading of the Word of God. Again, let's pray together. Father in heaven, Your word is alive. Your word is so rich. It's so relevant. It's so practical. It's so powerful. It's so true. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray, oh Lord, that your word would shine into the recesses of our hearts, into our minds, our thought life. It would shine into our practices and our patterns, our habits, our homes and our families. We pray, oh Lord, you would cause the light of your word, the light of the gospel of grace, to shine on us this morning as we consider your word together. For again, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we saw that this morning in the call to worship. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Now, often in the Bible, darkness represents ignorance. Okay? Often in the Bible, darkness represents sin. Often in the Bible, darkness represents hopelessness. Often in the Bible, darkness represents death. Often in the Bible, darkness represents despair. Okay? Often in the Bible, darkness represents sin, ignorance, death, and despair. Now, if darkness represents sin, ignorance, death, and despair, then surely Jesus Christ is the light. If darkness represents sin, ignorance, death, and despair, then surely light represents truth. In the Bible, light often represents knowledge. It represents understanding. It represents wisdom. If darkness represents sin, ignorance, death, and despair, then often in the Bible, light represents holiness, purity, hope, and life. If darkness represents sin, ignorance, death, and despair, then often in the Bible, light represents truth, hope, holiness, and life. If light represents truth, hope, holiness, and life, then surely Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus is the source of all truth, hope, holiness, and life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And so I want to encourage you this morning to look to the light so you can shine like a light. Look with me at our text this morning. Beginning with verse 33, Jesus says, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket. That's just common sense. Jesus often appeals to common sense. He appeals to what we would call everyday life experience. You wouldn't take a lamp and light it and then put it down in the basement or take a lamp and cover it up with a basket. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus often appeals to common sense, to everyday life experience. Keep in mind, especially in his day, there was no electricity. So when it got dark, it got really dark. Okay? When the sun went down and it got dark, it got really dark. There's no ambient light. There's no light from the neighbor's house. No street lamps, no lights from cars passing by, there's no light from town, and there's certainly no light switch in your house that you can flip. In the ancient world, when it got dark, it got really, really dark. And so if you wanted to see at nighttime, you would have to light a lamp, an oil lamp, very similar to our modern-day kerosene lamps. You would fill the lamp up with oil. There would be a wick that descends into the oil, and it would absorb the oil. So when you light the lamp, it would burn the oil that's absorbed in the wick, and that would cast off the light. But if you let this lamp burn, let's say you let the lamp burn overnight, you could literally see the oil disappearing. You could see the oil burning away, and oil was expensive. Now, if you leave the lights on tonight when you go to bed, that's costing you money. Okay? Kids, if you leave the room and you accidentally leave the lights on, okay, that's costing mom and dad money, right? It costs money. But you don't really see that, do you? Because your meter is outside. And few of us actually go outside to check the meter every day. Some of you do. I know one of you in particular who checks the meter often, but most of us don't. You don't go out and check the meter every day. And so if you left the lights on all night, you really wouldn't see the difference, because you wouldn't know until you get that bill at the end of the month. And then it's all the different costs thrown in there. You got an electric stove. You got to keep the refrigerator going. Maybe you got an air conditioner or a fan or a dehumidifier. So nowadays you can't really feel the expense of leaving the lights on that one night. But if you lived in the ancient world and you lit this lamp and you left it burning all night, you could literally see the oil disappearing. That's money disappearing out of your pocket. And so you certainly wouldn't go to the trouble and the expense of buying oil and filling up your lamp and lighting it and then leaving it down in the cellar. You just wouldn't do that. You wouldn't go to the trouble and the expense of lighting a lamp and then covering it up with a bushel basket. That doesn't make any sense. Here, as Jesus often does, he's appealing to what we would call common sense, everyday life experience, to make a spiritual point. He says, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. If you've gone to the trouble and the expense of lighting an oil lamp, you're not going to put it down in the basement and leave it down there. You're not going to put it on the floor under a basket. You're going to put it up on a stand. You're going to lift this lamp up high so that everybody can see the light. In the ancient world, they had a piece of furniture called a lampstand. And its sole purpose was to hold a lamp. Just like we have end tables and night tables, and a lot of times their only purpose is to hold a lamp or a book maybe or your alarm clock. In the ancient world, they had lampstands whose sole purpose was to hold your lamp. And it's like Jesus says, after lighting a lamp, no one puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand. Now you lift it up high so everybody who enters can see the light. As I said, I think here Jesus is just appealing to common sense, everyday life experience, to make a simple spiritual point. But what's the point? What point is he making here? Well, let me suggest that as Jesus has told us that he is the light of the world, that he is the source of all truth, of all hope and holiness and life, that perhaps what he's saying here is that we want to lift up Jesus so that others can see the light. Okay. Christianity was never meant to be a secret. It's never meant to be something that we hide from others, but rather we want to lift up the light. We want to lift up Jesus. We want to exalt Jesus. We want to share Jesus. We want to make Jesus known among the world. We want to glorify Jesus. We want to lift up Jesus so others can see the light. You want others to enjoy hope. You want others to know truth. You want others to experience holiness and purity and peace and everlasting life. You don't want to hide the light. You don't want to conceal the light. You want to lift up the light. You want to lift up Jesus so others can see the light. But how do you do that? How do you lift up Jesus? How do you exalt Jesus? The way a lampstand holds up a lamp, how do you lift up Jesus so others can see the light? Well, that's what we're going to consider together this morning. Look at verse 34. Jesus says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body." Well, what on earth does that mean? Well, let me just begin by saying this is a notoriously difficult passage. And there's many, many different theories. And if you're so inclined, you're welcome to do some research on your own, and you can learn all kinds of different theories. And you know, you have the right and the liberty to take any interpretation you want. I'm not going to try to throw out every possible interpretation. I'm simply going to present what I think Jesus means by this. The eye is the lamp of the body in this sense. In the ancient world, what happens inside your body was largely a mystery. Okay? They didn't have x-rays. They didn't have CAT scans. They didn't have PET scans. They couldn't take a blood test the way we do today and look at things under their microscope. They didn't open up a corpse the way medical students do today and look inside. They didn't do that. And so what was inside the body, in many ways, was a mystery. It was shrouded in darkness. I mean, yes, in the ancient world, there were certain things they would do to prepare a body after you died, but they didn't dissect a corpse the way people do today. So it was a mystery. I mean, even today, much of the things about the brain and much of the ways the body functions is still considered a mystery. It's hidden in darkness, but even much more so in the past. In the ancient world, much of what happens inside the body and how it works was shrouded in mystery. It was shrouded in darkness. But in the ancient world, doctors understood. In fact, everyone knew that you could see something about somebody's health by looking at their eyes. And in that sense, the eye is like a lamp to the body. The eye reveals kind of something of what's going on inside. Think about when you go to the doctor. You go to your family doctor. What is the first thing he does? After the nurse embarrasses you and makes you stand on the scale and all that, okay, the first thing the doctor does, he's going to look in your ear. He's going to look up your nose. He's going to look down your throat. And he's going to look at your eyes. Now, you may be thinking, doctor, I'm here because I sprained my ankle. It doesn't matter. He's going to look in your ears. He's going to look up your nose. He's going to look down your throat. And he's going to look in your eyes. Why? Because your ears and your nose, your throat and your eyes often reveal something of what's going on inside of you. They can often reveal whether you're healthy or not. Do you remember when Saul was king? Okay, in the Old Testament, before David became king, Saul was king. Saul was known for being, well, somewhat foolish and rash in his decisions. And there's a time when the Israelites were fighting the Philistines. It's been a long day. And finally, the Israelites begin to turn the tide. And Saul is afraid the Israelites are going to let up. It's been a long day. The men are tired. They're exhausted. But Saul wants to make sure that the Israelites don't let up. He wants them to press on. He wants a total and complete victory. So being a little rash, a little hasty, King Saul says, "Cursed is the man who stops and eats even a bite before evening." Well, you understand his reasoning. He wants his men to keep fighting and pressing. But the men were exhausted. They were just exhausted. They say that boxing is incredible exercise. Like, go to the gym. That's incredible exercise because your whole body's involved and you're constantly moving. And that's just in a gym. Imagine if you're boxing in a ring, okay? How exhausting. You know, a round is only, what, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and yet it's exhausting because you're constantly moving, you're using your entire body, and if you're not quick, if you're not on your, somebody's going to punch you in the face. Now imagine the ancient world is hand-to-hand combat, and your life is at stake. And you're not wearing just boxing shorts. You've got armor on and all kinds of things. But if you one wrong move and somebody's going to slash off your hand or cut you on the thigh or cut your throat. And imagine the adrenaline and just all the effort and the exhaustion. And these men have been fighting all day long. They're perspiring. They're faint-hearted, Scripture says. They're just worn out. Saul says they can't eat anything. So they're pursuing the Philistines, and they go through woods, forest, and they see honey. And it happens that Jonathan is there. Jonathan is Saul's son, so Jonathan's the prince. And it happens that Jonathan had been fighting in another part of the battle when King Saul makes this declaration. So Jonathan doesn't know they're not allowed to eat. And so when Jonathan sees this honey, he sticks out his staff and he takes some and he eats it, and it says his eyes brightened. And Scripture really makes a point of that, because when guys take him aside and say, "Hey, your dad said, the king said, no one's allowed, cursed be anyone who eats before nightfall," Jonathan says, "But did you not see how my eyes brightened?" And the whole point is that your eyes brighten because it means he's got a second wind, he's refreshed, he's renewed, and the eyes reveal something of that energy and that life and that strength within you. This is what Jesus says. He says, your eyes are the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body's full of light. When your eyes are bright, when they're shining, that's a sign of good health. My mom used to use the expression bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You know, sometimes my wife says, that was just a family expression. I don't know sometimes things you grow up with, whether that's things people say around here, if that was just in the South or just my family. My mom always used to say that. And what she meant by that is that when we're going somewhere, we're going to school, she didn't want us looking groggy and half asleep and like that. She wanted us bright-eyed. She wanted us wide awake, because bright eyes was a sign of being awake and energetic and having a good attitude and ready to go. Your eyes are the lamp of your body. That's what Jesus says. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body's full of darkness. Let's say you're playing soccer and you bump your head. What are they going to do? Right away, the trainer's going to come and she's going to look at your eyes, see if you've got a concussion. Or if you're a state trooper and the car in front of you is weaving, you're going to pull him over. And one thing you're going to do is you're going to look and see, are his eyes bloodshot? Has this guy been drinking? Or, you know, sometimes you'll meet people, as a pastor, I certainly do. Sometimes I meet strangers, and you can tell by looking at their eyes that guy's on something. Okay, I don't know what kind of drugs it is, but that guy, you know, if the eyes are bad, you can tell something's not right. Your little girl comes to you in the morning, and she says, my belly aches, I can't go to school. You don't know if she's really sick or not. Is she really sick, or is she just anxious because she's got a spelling test? And, you know, but if you go in to wake her up in the morning and her eyes, everything looks all pink and goopy, you're like, you're not going anywhere. I'm calling your teacher. Okay? When the eye doesn't look right, when the eye looks dull, you know, that person is sick. That person is not well. It's like a window or a lamp into the body. Jesus says when it's bad, when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Now, again, I think all Jesus is doing is just appealing to everyday life experience. This is something everybody knew. Every parent knows that, if someone's eyes don't look right, that's a bad sign. But again, he's appealing to what we would call common sense, everyday life experience, to make a spiritual point. What's the spiritual point? Well, this is what he says. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Be careful that there's not darkness in you. Well, remember, we said that darkness often represents sin, ignorance, death, and despair. He's saying, be careful that you're not filled with darkness. Okay, now, again, this is a tough passage, but see if you can follow his logic. Verse 33, okay? When you light a lamp, you don't put it in the cellar or under a bushel. You put it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. So that's how he begins. You got to be able to see the light. And then he says, now, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye is bad, the whole body's full of darkness. Isn't Jesus saying that where you look is going to determine how you look, at least on the inside? Where you're putting your eyes, where you're looking, where you're putting your focus is going to determine what you look like on the inside. Remember where we left off? The Pharisees were demanding a sign. Here's Jesus. He's the light of the world. Nobody's looking to him. Jesus has just said, blessed is he who hears the word of God and keeps it. But they're not looking in faith to Jesus. They just want to see another miracle. They just want to look and see a sign. They want to see another miracle. Remember when Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves? Crowds began to follow him. Not just the Pharisees, but the people began to follow. But it wasn't because they were looking to Jesus. They weren't looking at Jesus as the bread from heaven. They weren't looking in faith at Jesus. They just wanted more free bread and free fish. You know, this is all about where are you putting your eyes? Where are you focusing? Where are you looking? And if you are always focusing on the darkness, if you're always focusing and looking at everything that's ever gone wrong in your life, and everything that's going wrong today, and everything that might go wrong someday in the future, if you're always looking at everything your husband or your wife ever did wrong, every time someone's ever slighted you, every problem, if that's what you're focusing on, if you're watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC all the time, and you're always focusing on all the darkness in the world. Now, I'm not advocating ignorance, but I'm talking about where we keep our focus. If that's where your focus is, if you focus on the darkness, you're going to be filled with darkness. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be angry. You're going to be self-righteous. You're going to be full of despair and hopelessness. If you focus on the darkness, you're going to be filled with darkness. Where you look is going to determine how you look, at least on the inside.
I have a poster in my in the basement. Some of you have seen it. It's a poster of Captain America. Okay? Captain America and the Falcon. And the reason I got this poster, besides the fact that we needed something on the wall, is because it's a poster of a comic book that I had as a kid. And when I saw this poster, I'm like, I remember that comic book. I had it as a kid because when I was little, I remember vividly I was sick. And so my dad randomly picked a bunch of, three or four comic books and brought them home to me. And I remember this because it was so spooky. That's why I remember. I think too scary. Because it was about Captain America and the Falcon meet the Night People. And the Night People were these people who had all kinds of problems, all kind of deformities and issues, and they couldn't get along with people. And so they went down and they lived in the sewer, and they only came out at night. And the premise of the story was that these people, they had something wrong with them anyway, all kind of anger issues and deformity and everything. But then because they lived in the ground in the darkness, they just got worse and worse. And they became almost like monsters. And they only came up at night to steal things and to harm people. And that's why I remember this, because as a kid I thought, too creepy. But I think we see something of the same thing in the scriptures. John says, the light came into the world, but man did not receive the light. Because man loved the darkness. You know, there's something wrong with us that I don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear about my sin. I don't want to hear what I've done wrong. I reject the truth. We run from the truth. There's something wrong with us that we want to reject the truth. But the longer you hide in the darkness, the worse you get. If you look in the darkness and you dwell in the darkness and you focus on the darkness, you become filled with darkness. You become filled with despair and hopelessness and anger and bitterness. And where you look, where you focus, is going to determine how you look on the inside. So I want to encourage you this morning, look to the light so you can shine like a light. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to people who are anxious. And he says to them, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Here, these people were anxious, and Paul doesn't deny their problems. In fact, he says, make your request known to God. We're not denying the darkness of the world. We're not trying to be naive. There are problems in the world, but Paul says, you can't dwell on the darkness. If you dwell on the darkness, you just become part of the problem. If all you do is meditate on everything wrong with society today, you have just become part of the problem. Instead, Paul says, whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Yes, there's all kind of darkness. We live in a dark world, but you don't have to dwell on that. It's like there are going to be weeds in your garden. You don't have to water the weeds. There's darkness in the world, but you don't have to dwell on that. You don't have to focus on that. Paul says you focus on whatever's true and honorable and just and pure. Well, what is more true, honorable, and just than Jesus? What is more pure, lovely, and commendable than Jesus? What is more excellent and worthy of praise than Jesus? If you want to shine like a light, you got to look to the light. You got to keep your eyes on the light. Jesus is the light, and you got to keep your eyes on the light. Writer of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Paul says, set your mind above where Christ is seated on the throne. Psalm 36 says, in your light shall we see light. If you want to shine like a light, you got to look to the light. What happened? When Jesus had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I mean, this morning is Palm Sunday. It's the Sunday before Easter when we traditionally commemorate Jesus' victorious entry into Jerusalem. And what did the people do? In striking contrast to the Pharisees who just want to see a sign. They just want to see a sign. They're ignoring Jesus. But what happened when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem and the people were looking to him in faith and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And their attitude and their actions are noticeably different because they're looking to Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul says, wake up. He says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Just like at creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Paul says, so God has caused the light of the glory of God to shine on you through the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to live in the dark, okay? The antidote to darkness is light. If you are concerned about the darkness in this world, if you're concerned about the darkness in your own heart, if you're concerned about the darkness in the family, then turn away from the dark and turn to the light. Don't run from the light. Walk in the light. Believe in the light. Accept the light. Embrace the light. Jesus in John says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you might become children of light. In our Sunday school class, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines. Okay, that is things you've got to do over and over and over again. Spiritual disciplines are things you have to make yourself do. You don't just do them when you feel like it, when it's convenient, when it springs to mind, when other people are doing it. Spiritual disciplines are those things that you discipline yourself to do. You train yourself. You make yourself do them every day, no matter what. Even when it's not convenient, even when it's not practical, even when it's not popular, you discipline yourself. You train yourself. This is what we're going to do over and over again. Whether it's reading scripture, whether it's time in prayer, whether it's being in worship, spiritual discipline, you just say, I'm going to make myself do it until it becomes a part of my life, my lifestyle. It's just who I am. So that no matter how busy life is, well, we're going to be in worship on Sunday because that's what we do. And no matter how hectic life is, I'm going to start my day in God's word because that's what I do. Spiritual disciplines, you make yourself do them over and over again until it just becomes part of who you are. It becomes part of your lifestyle. But what is the purpose? Whether it's reading scripture or prayer or gathering together worship, the purpose is to turn your eyes on Jesus. Okay? We've got to discipline ourselves to look to Jesus and keep our eyes on Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus is saying here? Verse 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Well, now, he warned about if your body's full of darkness, if you're looking at the dark, then you're going to be filled with darkness. But if you're looking to the light, he says, if then your whole body is full of light. And look at the words he uses. Your whole body full of light. He doesn't say if there's a little spark of light in you. He says if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. Who here can say there's no darkness in me? Nah, no anxiety. I never lose my patience. I never snip at anybody. Jesus says, if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it'll be wholly bright. You can't just look at Jesus once. You can't just do this once in a lifetime or once a week or once a day. You want your life to be wholly bright. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus all the time. You've got to discipline yourself to keep looking to Jesus. Now, obviously, we live in a dark world, and there's responsibilities. There's things you got to do. There's things you got to focus on. But you got to discipline yourself to keep looking to Jesus throughout the day, making it part of your routine, making it part of your schedule, having a little reminder. Maybe you stick a verse on the mirror so you see it in the morning, or you have a verse in the car so you think about that when you're driving. You've got to discipline yourself. Maybe you put the radio on Christian stations so that when you get in the car, Christian music comes on. You discipline yourself. So you're not just looking to Jesus once a week or once a day, but throughout the day, you got to look to the light if you want to shine like a light. Paul told the Thessalonians, you're all children of light, children of the day. He says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We read this morning, Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. John says, this is the message you heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And yet he went to the cross. The light of the world went to the cross. He bore our judgment. He bore our condemnation. On that day, you remember, in the middle of the day, the whole day grew dark. It was as if the light of the world was extinguished and darkness fell on Jesus Christ so it need never fall on you. It was dark and judgment fell on Jesus so it need not ever fall on you. Darkness fell on him so he might always shine on you. And now Jesus says, believe in the light
and walk in the light so you can shine like a light. Paul says to the Philippians, you are children of God among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let your light shine so people might give glory to God. Look again at verse 36. Jesus says, if then your whole body's full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright. Well, now he was warning about your body being full of darkness, but now he says, if you're looking at Jesus, your whole body can be bright. It can be light. You can be like a lamp, like a light. He says, your whole body will be full of light, having no part dark, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. So on the one hand, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But in another sense, you're the light of the world. You know that from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking to his people and he says, you are the light of the world. Well, wait a minute. Jesus is the light of the world. Yes, but Jesus is in heaven. You are down here. How is Jesus going to illuminate this world? How is he going to shine in this world? He's going to do it through you. Okay? You're the light of his world, of the world. You're his people. He's going to shine in this world through you. Okay? We don't need more people to comment on the darkness. Okay? Update, more bad news coming up at 11. Okay? We don't need that. It's so tempting. Did you hear what happened? And it's so tempting to always spread the bad news. Let me tell you what terrible thing happened to me today. We need to be informed, but we really don't need more people to spread the bad news. We agree. The world's dark. What we need is light. Jesus has called you to be the light. You are the means, one of the primary means by which Jesus Christ shines in the world today. He says, you are the light of the world. In fact, he uses the same analogy. He says, you don't take a lamp and put it in the basement. You don't put a lamp and put it under a basket. You lift it up on a lampstand so everybody can see the light. Jesus says, in the same way, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Let people see your faith. Let them hear what you believe. Let them see your joy. Let them see your happiness. Let them see your gifts. Let them see your talents. Let it shine. Don't hide it. Don't hide your joy. Don't hide your faith. Don't hide the holiness and the purity. Let it shine. Jesus says, let your light shine so people can see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. David in Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who should David fear? How about Goliath? How about Goliath? There's somebody to be afraid of. Or how about all the Philistine army? Or how about King Saul and his men? David, if anyone had someone to fear, David had people to fear. But he says, the Lord is my light. So of whom shall I be afraid? Well, David was just like the rest of us, but as he looked to the light, it's like the fear was driven out. I mean, David was a sinful man like the rest of us. But as he walked in the light, it's like his life was filled with light. It's driving out the fear, the anxiety, the arrogance, the pride, the bitterness, the pettiness, the lack of forgiveness. The Lord is my light. Of whom shall I be afraid? As you walk in the light, as you keep your eyes in the light, as you dwell in the light, you shine like a light. Peter says that God has gathered us as his people, as a holy priesthood, as a kingdom of priests, a royal nation, that you might proclaim the excellencies. Okay? God isn't just excellent. God is excellent in many ways. So Peter uses the plural, excellencies. He says, God has gathered you that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're tempted to dwell in the darkness. God's called you out of that. Why? He's called you into the light so you might enjoy the light, bathe yourself in the light, walk in the light, and proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into the light. In Isaiah, God says, I will make you as a light for the nations. Is this world dark? Yeah, no kidding. That's why you need to be a light. That's why it's so important. If the world was just full of light, maybe it wouldn't be so important that you keep your eyes on Jesus. But because the world is so dark, that's all the more reason to keep your eyes on the light. God says, I will make you as a light for the nations. I will make you as a light in this dark world. I will make you the means by which light and hope and truth and glory and grace comes to the world around you. He says, I will make you a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Finally, in Daniel, you have that great promise. Daniel says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness. It's easy to turn people to the dark. Oh man, let me tell you about this. Daniel says, but those who turn many to righteousness, those who witness, those who share their faith, those who are a good example of godliness and maturity, those who show love and compassion, those who help and serve, those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. Look to the light so you can shine like a light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the source of all truth, hope, holiness, and light. You look to the light, you keep your eyes on the light, and by the grace of God, you will shine like a light. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, the world is dark. It is dark, and sometimes that grips our attention. Sometimes it distracts us. Sometimes it threatens to overwhelm us. Sometimes the world is so dark, we forget just how light you are. Thank you for drawing us out of the dark. Thank you for saving us from the dark. Light is the antidote to dark. Light drives out dark. Light is the cure for the dark. Lord, thank you for the light. Thank you for the light of your word. Thank you for the light of your counsel, the light of your face. Thank you for the light of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, shine on us, we pray, and help us to walk in the light. Cause us to believe in the light. Help us, Lord, to embrace the light. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus so that for Christ we might shine like a light in this world. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.